Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of Toronto, Elliot Friedman joins us on the show. And a lot going on up there. And Elliot, were you... I saw you, I think you tweeted about the Kawhi Leonard shot last night.
Yeah. That was... I got home after the hockey game. Had a chance to sit down with a glass of wine and some dinner and watch the basketball. And... what an incredible game. I mean, that shot, I was trying to think of a hockey comparable. It's almost like in Game 7 overtime, someone hitting both posts on the crossbar, and then it dribbles in. I mean, that thing just hung there forever. What a moment.
Yeah, it was, you know what, Frege, Dan Dunleavy here. Nice to talk to you, my
friend.
Meant
to tell you, Dan's in studio with us. Sorry.
Really quick, I'll get back to that, but I want to throw in some Sabres news here. The Sabres announced this morning that Lawrence Pilot had successful shoulder surgery. The procedure is recovery time of 5 to 6 months. So just showing that little bit of Sabres news in there for a young defenseman. The interesting thing about that shot was, and we're all watching it, you didn't know how to act. And there's a moment where you think, oh, gosh, he missed it. Oh, maybe there's a chance. And then I don't know what the third emotion was, but the fourth emotion was, holy, you know what, that thing actually went in. And you think of the defining moments in sports, and I heard and I think it was an ESPN conversation two guys were having about how many defining moments have there been in these NBA playoffs. And the one host mentioned, well, there really haven't been that many. He brought up one or two maybe in a Portland series. But, you know, that becomes really for now the defining moment, doesn't it, of not only for sports in that city for a long time, but – really for these NBA playoffs, where you're waiting for that wow moment. And last night, you know, Kawhi delivered with that.
It's totally true. I mean, I didn't realize it, but that's the first ever buzzer-beating game winner in a Game 7. Like, you would think in NBA history that somebody would have done. Now, Michael Jordan did one in a Game 5. That the first round of the NBA used to be best of 5. But, you know, I mean, that's the first time it's ever been done. And that shot, too. And, you know, if you spend some time online, the photography last night was incredible. That was what added to the moment for me, is if you scrolled through Twitter, all the various shots, the one of Embiid and Leonard watching it, the one of Leonard on the ground watching the ball bounce. There was one I retweeted that showed Embiid, who's a giant, how high he got to Leonard to make that shot difficult on him. But the one that really stood out for me, Dan, and, you know, you and I worked together when the Raptors broke in a lot of ways before tonight or last night, the biggest moment in Raptor franchise history was a miss. Yeah. It was 18 years ago, Game 7, and it was Raptors-Sixers. And there was a fan last night that put those shots on Twitter next to each other, and Vince Carter misses from the opposite corner off the rim almost the same way Leonard made it from the other corner last night. Like, it's incredible. And
yeah, but Vince Carter was trying to miss, and so was Leonard, but he just accidentally made it.
Yeah, he's just too good. That's right.
I'll tell you what, this organization has gone a long way from that Carter miss. Tracy McGrady, this ship is sinking, man.
Yeah.
And walking away from the team. There have been so many almost highs that turned into really low lows for basketball fans in Toronto. And I really wish that there was a Braves team here in Buffalo, because it would be you talk about the hockey rivalry, that basketball rivalry would be off the charts as well. Maybe there's a future in it beyond our time in this business. But I just think it's great for the game. I think it's great for, obviously, that fan base that's invested so much emotion in the team. So I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the fans because they've seen guys walk away from that team before. This guy might do the same, but for now he's here and they're loving it.
Elliot Friedman,
I agree.
Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada up in Toronto there. And let's talk about coaching search. I mean, you know, let's get right into it. I mean, if the Braves had a team, they'd want to know who the coach was, and the Sabres do have a team, and they want to know who their coach might be, and you were talking about what?
You're just clever. I just like
Ralph Krueger on the rise. Todd Richards out. Jacques Martin out. Dave Tippett more likely for Oilers.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, first of all, let me just say I'd love to see a basketball team in Buffalo because it would give another reason for Toronto and Buffalo fans to fight in the crowd at sporting events. I mean, we need more of those.
Great game the other night, Toronto Rock and Bandits.
Yeah, absolutely. The Toronto-Buffalo rivalry is great. So here's the deal with Ralph Krueger. I have people telling me I am underselling this, and it's much farther along than I am reporting, just to be honest with you. But I don't know that. At the very least, it appears as if there's a decent chance this is going to happen. And I think if it is, we're going to know middle to later of this week. But I don't know that. All I can tell you is I'm hearing that they've interviewed him. They like him. He's got a legit shot at the job, like I wrote. There are more. I mentioned in my notes one possible connection. I don't know if it's true. But a couple of people have suggested to me that Jason Botterill's father, Dr. Cal Botterill, and Krueger might have a connection from both international hockey and the fact that they both have Winnipeg connections. The other thing that I was reminded of that I should have put in but I didn't is that Steve Smith, who I believe the Sabres want to return next year on your bench, he coached with Ralph Krueger in Edmonton. So he would know him too. And you know, I think he's, like I said, I think he's got a legit shot at the job, and there are people who have better connections than I do who think this process is a lot farther along, but I don't know that.
Elliot, can I ask you about the process? Because it's one of ignorance. I don't know. We're watching on our show here on MSG, we showed some called B-roll for those that don't know, but it's of Krueger behind the bench at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice, I believe, was back at the bench with him there. Would that be I don't know how that works, but are you allowed to reach out to another coach or just have a conversation with a Paul Maurice and say, hey, what was it like to work with this guy back at the bench at the World Cup if you're a GM?
You can call Kevin Cheveldayoff off the GM and say, look, we just want to talk to your coach. We're not stealing him from you, but we're looking for intel. And teams will grant that. I don't think technically you're tampering or anything like that, but it's probably as much a courtesy call as anything else.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's not a serious question, but I thought, well, why wouldn't you if he worked with him, if you could?
Elliot, is there any chance that there are coaches that are still hired by their teams that might come available between now and, I don't know, draft day or after the draft?
The one guy I think teams were wondering about was Berube in St. Louis. I did have one team specifically kind of quietly admit that, you know, they were waiting to see if there was any chance he became available. But if you heard, because you never know, like, what if a negotiation goes sideways or something like that? But if you listen to Doug Armstrong before the Western Conference Final the other day, it doesn't sound like he's going to let that go sideways. So, you know, he would be the one guy that I could possibly think about. But other than that, I don't know of any situations right now at this time where anybody is waiting in particular for somebody on one of these teams.
Do you guys think Kirk Muller will ever be a head coach again, or is he an assistant coach for his career, Elliot?
You know, I think he will get another shot somewhere. I know that there were some people impressed with Montreal really changed their offense last year, and I think he had a lot to do with it. They spent the summer really working on some plans before last season with how they were going to adapt and change the way they played. And I think they felt pretty good about how it went, even though they missed the playoffs. I mean, you almost need, it's like the old saying, a rising tide floats all boats, and you kind of need that big run or something like that. But I think somewhere he will get another opportunity, yes.
We're joined on the line with Elliot Friedman. You also were reporting on, we're talking coaching search and coaching candidates. Yeah. You also reported on, you know, Sheldon Keefe, probably the most known AHL coach in history, by the way, yeah. You know, right now. But I don't think anyone could name any other assistant coaches. But, you know, he's one that is very, very highly touted. What's his status?
Put it this way, I think that if somebody wanted Sheldon Keefe as their head coach, I don't think Toronto would stand in his way. But first of all, I think that Sheldon knows the GM, Kyle Dubas. I mean, obviously they're tight. They have a long history. They know each other really well. So he's in an organization where he trusts his general manager. That's number one. Number two, I think we all kind of read the tea leaves here in Toronto. That there's this, you know, barring something strange happening, whenever Mike Babcock's time is over, Sheldon Keefe is going to be the head coach. So he knows that that path is available to him.
That could only be 1 year, right, Elliot? I mean, in my opinion,
who knows?
Like, what happens if they underachieve next year, too? They have a great regular season, then go out in the first round. I mean, is that the case where Babcock could be on the hot seat?
Well, I think if you've watched what's been going on here, guys, like, it's all the relationship between Babcock and Dubas is, you know, it's at the least, it's they're wary of each other right now. I mean, look, we had to have a situation here where in the season-ending media conference, there wasn't a vote of confidence, and only a few days later did they give it. So, things are not. There's choppy waters already. So the answer to your question is yes, it could certainly happen. So, but what I think that means is that if Sheldon Keefe is going to leave Toronto, he's only leaving it for a dynamite situation. You know, like everything is set up here for him to be the coach at some point, a coach of a team that's got some really good players and will have some of these really good players signed for a long time. And a team with a lot of money and likes to spend it. I mean, if you're leaving, you're leaving for a great situation. And so I don't think that he's going to be, A, leaving, and B, based on what I'm hearing, I don't think Buffalo is going in that direction anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, that leaves us slim pickings here. I don't know who else to throw a dart at on the list. I mean, like, do we hear names like Bob Bugner coming up? What, like, and I'm not just talking here in Buffalo. I'm just talking like in general. Like Todd Nelson has had a lot of conversation about, you know, head coaching jobs over the years. You know, there are other guys. Kevin Dineen's name is on the list. I mean, are those the types of NHL experience that a general manager, you know, looks at? Is assistant coaching one of them? I mean, Ralph Krueger, you know, NHL experience, but I mean these guys as well.
Well, you know, I think just what happened in your case here, Andrew, is that. Like of all the coaching searches, first of all, it's like there's always things we don't know in the media, right? Like there's stuff that we find out and there's stuff that we don't find out. I would give credit to the Sabres in one way that I found it really hard to get a handle on what they were doing. I heard about Keith. John Shannon was the one who heard about Todd Richards, although I don't think he ever got interviewed. At the end of the day, Jacques Martin's name got out there, but I found it really hard to figure out, you know, kind of who they were interviewing or who they were focused on. And, you know, I think that part of that is because assuming Krueger is the guy or very high on your list, I don't think a lot of us necessarily would have looked at that. And because he's overseas and Botterill was overseas for a chunk of this, they had an opportunity to meet where a lot of us didn't see it. So if they zero in on him, it's hard for us kind of to find out at this particular time. Bob Bugner, like Todd Nelson, if Dave Tippett doesn't end up being the coach in Edmonton, I think Todd Nelson will have a decent shot at that job. You know, Ken Holland knows him. The Edmonton fans like him. I mean, that hiring would not be unpopular in Alberta if it's not Tippett. Bob Bugner, you know, I had heard a rumor that Bugner was in your search, but, you know, don't forget, he was in the mix a few years ago, and Buffalo may not want to go down that road again. So I'm not convinced that rumor was right. I think there's a lot of guys out there. There's not only Keith in the American Hockey League. There's Rocky Thompson, who coaches Chicago. I know he's been on some NHL radars here and there. I just think that until it's over, we don't know. But I really think that there was a point that you guys, I know you guys looked at McClellan. He went to L.A. I know you guys looked at Tippett. I think he's going to end up in Edmonton. I think that's more likely. And, you know, at some point in time, and I'm sure we'll find out the full story of when this all comes to an end, you guys started zeroing in on Kruger, and we'll see how that happened and where it goes.
I was wondering if there's another Dave Quinn out there that we don't know either. And you know, maybe you brought that up with a guy like Rocky Thompson, but a guy who's been around the American League and, has hockey roots. And then, of course, he was in the U.S. college ranks before doing, I think, a great job with
Nate
the Rangers.
Lehman's name was bumped around. Riv brought that up, that it had been tossed around a couple weeks ago.
Who's that, sorry?
Nate Lehman from Providence.
I know he's interviewed in Ottawa. I don't know if he's interviewed with Buffalo. I don't know the answer to that at this point in time. Obviously, you guys were in on Jacques Martin, too, and he kind of fits the profile. But I'm hearing it won't be Martin in Buffalo. If anything, he's got more of a shot in Ottawa than he has with you guys.
So what do you think happens with the name, for some reason, isn't Riv will know it, Daniel will know it, the guy in Ottawa there who just got let go, the
Guy Boucher.
What's the knock on?
He might end up overseas.
Okay. All right, we're joined right now on the line with Elliot Friedman. Let's talk about some playoffs, Elliot. What are you making of these playoffs? First of all, is the officiating up to par for you? And secondly, are you enjoying them? Because Riv seems to think they've been rather boring.
Well, what, Riv? You've been bored by these playoffs? I think they've been pretty good, I got to say. Always find that this round is, I find if there's a round that slows, it's this one. And Boston is certainly doing their part to make this round boring. But, I actually just kind of like the playoffs. You know, we've had a lot of game sevens. We've had game seven overtimes. I mean, the officiating, there's been a controversy every night, and it's not something the league likes seeing happening. And, you know, I wrote this weekend that I think they should change the video review process, that they should just take out the offsides, because I think we've learned that linesmen call offsides pretty well. And right now we're fighting over millimeters, which is not the way that this rule was intended. But I think they should give every team two challenges. You can challenge goalie interference. You can challenge, and you blow your timeout if you get that. But you can challenge, did the puck hit the netting? Did your player shoot it out, or was it over the glass, or was it deflected? You can challenge the Pavelski penalty kind of thing. You can challenge whose high stick hit who? Was he hit by a teammate? Was he hit by someone else? Let the league pick and the GMs pick what they want to challenge. You get two a game, and if you get it wrong, you get a penalty.
I'm good with that, because I'm ready to dial it back to replay is only for whether the puck crossed the line, because I'm tired of it all. And it is. It's a game played by human beings. And at the end of the day, what do you want to know? Did the puck cross the line? The rest of it, you've got two referees and two linesmen on the ice. I'm fine with letting them call the game and living, and also being disappointed whether they missed a call. Guys miss passes, goalies miss pucks, coaches make mistakes. Did the puck cross the line? That's what I want. That's all I want. I'm okay with, Elliot, your two challenges on those things, because that's where the world is today. But the rest of it, I mean, for crying out loud, we watched an NBA game last night where they replayed whether it was a flagrant foul or not. We had to watch two guys' elbows and arms flail away and whether his fingertips touched a guy's eyeball.
I watched lacrosse. You've got to be kidding me. I watched a review in the Bandits game the other night.
We're killing sports here, people. We're killing sports this generation. Knock it off.
We're trying to get it right. We're trying to get it right, Dan.
The only thing that matters is, did the puck cross the line? The rest of you grown men sort it out. My goodness. Or grown lady, sort it out. That's what competition is all about.
That other voice there, Elliot, that was Craig Rive. He's here too.
I know.
I just get in awe when we got the big boys on. Eh? I just love to listen.
You don't like the challenge, eh? You just no pun intended. Get it? You don't like to challenge anyone?
I know your type, Craig. You're gonna rip me when I'm off the air.
Oh wow!
Well, you know what?
Your type.
You know me very well, because I wrote down a few things here. Elliot says.
Every team's got one of those guys. Okay,
just laying in the weeds, Elliot.
Lying in the weeds, that's right.
He's the Brad Marchand of the media, there's no question. Did I say that out loud? That what are the things you would counter that Elliot happened to say?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
Next segment.
You know, I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to go back to the coaching situation with the Sabres, but, you know, obviously Ralph Kruger's name's been coming up. You're a lot of information coming from yourself, and I just, I look to myself and say, you know, when's the last time this guy coached?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when's the last time he coached hockey? Like, he's been out of the game for a little while, hasn't he?
Yeah, last time he coached it, well, he coached the Oilers. He was let go in 2013, and he coached Team Europe at the World Cup in 2016. And, I mean, I'm sure that they have asked about all of these things. He was a very good international coach for Switzerland. 2006 Olympics, I covered the game where they beat Canada 2-0.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like, he's a, and the Swiss players, I remember talking to them at the time, like, you always knew your role. You always knew, what you had to do. But the one thing that they said about him that I have known, and the Team Europe guy said this too, Craig, is he is a relentlessly positive guy. And he creates an environment where people believe in their ability to accomplish things. And, you know, like one of the things that's really changing, and you guys can talk about from your days as players, when you and Andrew played, you know, it was do this, do that, and don't dare challenge. This generation is all about why. Why do I have to do this? Why are we doing that? And I think your coach now, more than anything else, has to create an environment that this generation of players. And this is happening everywhere in life, not in just sports. Why are we going to buy into your vision? Why are we going to do this? Why are you? He's the kind of guy who can build that. He's very smart at that. He creates belief. He creates a feeling of team and why we're going to accomplish things together. Now, you're going to need. He's not a bad actor in those guys at all. But as you said, he hasn't done it in a while. So you're going to need people around you that can help him fix that problem. I know that in Edmonton, one of the things the organization felt was that his system did some things that you can do in international hockey, but you can't do them in the NHL in terms of the way you position things. As far as I'm concerned, that can all be fixed. I have a feeling that one of the reasons you guys are going after him is because of the way he builds teams to believe in themselves. Look, it's been a hard few years in Buffalo. I can see why his ability to do that, Craig, would appeal to your organization.
That's easy to do at camp for, I think, any coach comes in who's a new coach. Okay, boys, here's our plan. Here's why I think it's going to work. If we stick with it, trust me, we'll have success. I can't think for a second that Phil Housley didn't come into Buffalo and say those words. I have a plan. I come in off of a good record being a defensive-minded coach with a good core in Nashville. I'm going to espouse my knowledge of the game and what we did there I'm going to bring in here. But
on a shirt.
At some point, that broke down within, obviously, the group, because we can see it with the lack of success on the ice. I don't know what it was. It's not my business. But it obviously did, because he's not here now. You know, and I just think that I was going to ask you, what is it you think the Sabres need from, because you watch the entire league, and I think you mentioned it a little bit there, but boy, that's easy to do coming in on day one. I get it. It's to do it at game 50 when you had a 7-game win streak, let's not say 10, and now you've lost 5 in a row. And now you've got your 21, 22, 23-year-old kids who believed in you a month and a half ago and all of a sudden are looking for that. That question came up again. Why do I believe in you now? So I guess the question would be, and this is Jason's job when he does the interviews, and that's why he's a GM, is to say, hey, Ralph, I get you can do that in the first 2 months of the season. If Jason Botterill walked in the room as a head coach and said, I'm going to do it all, he could probably do it for the first 2 months. What about when things don't go your way? Look at what Craig Berube did. Craig Berube, some will call it dinosaur, and I hate the term. I call it experience. He knew exactly what buttons to push with that kind of team in St. Louis. So that's the big it here. Like, what are the buttons that need to be pushed with the Jack Eichels, the Sam Reinharts, the Dahlin as a young guy? Not that he's an issue, but you're going to have to push buttons somewhere with young guys. And if Ralph's the guy, I mean, that's great. I just don't know what the it is.
Well, you know what I think it is, Dan? Like, and I can only, you know, you remember, Dan, like when we worked in a situation years ago in the Fan when there were really difficult times, right?
Yeah.
And part of the problem was, and I am a big believer in this, you have to feel one of the reasons that it didn't work at times in the Fan was because we didn't believe in some of our leadership. And it got, you know, and when that happened, you know, things kind of go sideways. You know, Kruger, if you look at his history, he finds ways, and he did it with Southampton too. You know, he just finds ways to build successful organizations. Like Switzerland in hockey, they always did well under him, better than people sometimes expected. You know, like from what I understand, the research I've done into this Premier League team that he did, you know, he did some things there that built a better organization than I think people overseas expected it could be. I don't know if I can give you a specific example of things, but I know his history is he builds things that maybe are underdogs and creates an environment where expectations get beaten.
Well, to use a Craig Berube term, then it sounds like you're describing someone who's relentless in their focus of this is the environment I'm going to create, and you can try to knock me down all you want, 23-year-old, 24-year-old player who thinks you have the answers. I'm going to work with you, but I am still I still run the ship.
Yeah, he is like that.
With a positive attitude, but he's still espousing the energy that I get. You're the players. This is my team, though. And we're going to do it in a good, positive way, but it's my team.
Yes, well, I think that from what I know about him, that is the perfect way to describe him.
Well, you had Jason Botterill talk about what he is looking for in a coach, and one was talking about the coach needs to have some structure. He needs to have be able to build something for these players to grasp. Yeah. And the other thing is he needs to command the room.
Chest out. Mm-hmm.
And you know, listen, I mean, there's all different ways of commanding the room. You can be that stern, hardcore Tortorello type, or you can be someone who's more of a, as we call the player coach, softer. I think you need something kind of in between here in Buffalo. We do have a young team. We do have a lot of players that are still growing and learning, but you need to have some sternness, but also to be able to relate to these guys and have them want to come to the rink and have fun.
I agree.
And you know what? I think, and the other thing that's kind of interesting about him too, guys, is that, you know, sometimes you've got your player, and I'm not saying this to pick on Eichel or anything like that. I'm just talking about the situation. You've got your player, and you've got one guy making $10 million. You've got other guys making $6 million. You've got other guys making, you know, still a lot of money, and the coach doesn't make as much, and it's a power imbalance, right? You know, I remember when I was doing some research when he was coaching Team Europe in 2016 and whether or not he'd be back. And somebody who knows Ralph Kruger really well says, you know, I know you guys are talking about going to the NHL as a coach. And I go, yeah. And he goes, he doesn't need that job. And he kind of winked. And I was like, okay, I get what you're talking about there. So, you know, I think that this is a guy, if he's going to do this, it's going to be because he wants the challenge.
That's a great point. I never really actually thought of that point. Very not because he needs and, yeah, I like that point. That's a good one.
Yeah, he wants it. He wants it more than he needs it is what I was about.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it.
Do you know what I want, Elliot? Do you know what I need? I need our Raptors to win. Okay?
This is going to be tough.
Go Raptors.
Like, this Milwaukee team is good.
Go Raptors. Really the Bucks don't even have a team. No one's ever heard of them before. When were they ever relevant in the NBA? I saw the most irrelevant NBA game in my life.
If anyone can tell
it was
you, if
the
anyone
Sacramento
can tell
Kings
you.
And the Milwaukee Bucks in the late or the mid 2000s.
If
early.
Anyone can tell you, it's this guy right now who I just for 2 seconds professionally, I got to congratulate on everything you've done in your career. Because yes, I was there day one. Elliot walked into the Fan in Toronto, And that young man blew our minds from the first moment we ever spoke to him on just how much knowledge he had yes. about the game and how much work he put into it and all the success that you're having right now and the fact that you're on the show as a guest. I just want to say, because I haven't had the chance.
Yeah, we're the lucky ones here, Elliot, eh? Not you.
No, just, I mean it. He's worked his tail off. Way to go.
I always appreciate how much you helped me out when I first started.
Hey, well, I don't know if I did, but listen, you've done a great job. Keep her going, buddy.
Boy, there's a lot of love going on.
I love it. And you want to see love?
Now when I go away, we'll hear what Reveille has to say.
Yep. I'm just balancing things out here.
Tune in on demand, Elliot. But before I go, I'll be at game one with our buddy in the back there, George Blass, and I'll be rocking my Toronto Raptors Marcus Camby jersey. Don't even kid yourself. The biggest bust out of the UMass Amherst, number 2 overall, Marcus Camby.
Look at you.
Yep, I'm going to be rocking my Camby jersey. I can't wait to see what the fans in Toronto have to say. Thanks for your time, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care. Be well.
All right. Take care. Elliot Friedman, always great when we have him on. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.